Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Health Matters, a program for those who are sick and in need of a physician, of body and soul. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK, and welcome back to Health Matters. I'm Juliana Krieger, your host, and in this show, we look at the psychological, social, and spiritual implications that illnesses have on patient and family. We begin by speaking to Dr. Andrew Nicholson in the first half of our show about the physical and thus more practical implications. Then in the second half, Pastor Lynn Hansen speaks to us from St. Paul in Minnesota about the spiritual struggles that chronic and terminal patients face. But again, both doctor and pastor hope to do more than that. They also want to give guidance and comfort to the weary and burdened soul and to remind them that God is with them and for them, no matter what comes their way. Last week, we spoke about depression. Thank you for all the emails you sent us with your comments. Today, we'll talk about matters of the heart. Dr. Andrew, welcome back. Doctor, how many heart conditions are there and what are the most common diseases?
Certainly in this country, the most common diseases are diseases of the blood supply to the heart, the coronary artery disease. The incidence of high blood pressure is such in this country, it's around about 12%, that high blood pressure can cause significant heart disease as well. Back in the 19th and early 20th century, there was a disease called rheumatic fever that many of us caught as children, and that can cause diseases of the valves in the heart. So these are the sort of major problems in this country. In many other countries, there are infections of the muscle of the heart that can cause something called a cardiomyopathy. But this is seldom seen in this country.
Which ones are acquired and which ones are hereditary?
It is difficult to really tease this apart. One of the things I do as a GP is give everybody I see over 40 an assessment as to what their likelihood is of getting heart disease. And in that, I can't speak for people's genetics. Your parents are your parents and you can't change that. But whether you smoke, you can decide whether you do that. So there's smoking, there's raised blood pressure, whether you're a diabetic, whether you have heart failure, and perversely, whether you're a man or a woman, being a man increases your risk of having heart disease. These are things that come together to give a risk assessment for a patient. But of course, probably the most important thing is the genetics, and we do not understand this fully yet.
How much can drinking, smoking and sedentariness complicate the heart conditions, and how can we help ourselves?
Of all the things that we do, smoking is by far the most dangerous thing you can do as somebody who has potential heart disease. The diet that you have is quite important, although the reality is that a large percentage of the cholesterol in your body is in fact created by your liver, not from what you swallow. So if you have a tendency to have a high cholesterol because of inherited factors, going on a low cholesterol diet will help to an extent, but not to a great extent. Being sedentary can be a problem if indeed this is done to excess. It is important, if you want to look after your heart, that you exercise to the point where you get sweaty for half an hour, three times a week. That is probably adequate to keep your heart in good nick. It's important to realise that your heart is a muscle. I remember when a young lad looking at television and seeing your life in your hands, in their hands, on television, amazed to see the violence with which the heart contracts every time. We all of us have this amazing muscle within us, violently contracting 70 or 80 times a minute, and yet we don't actually realise it. It is important that we look after our hearts. It is the one thing that drags us and gets us through every day.
Heart diseases don't seem as scary as they used to be, but what is the actual death rate from heart disease?
Well, the death rate from heart disease is going down all the time as we manage to understand the disease more and get better interventions. After all, 20 years ago, it was unusual to know somebody who'd had a bypass graft done on the heart. But we all of us know somebody who's had that done. we're doing fewer invasive techniques now. We're doing things such as stents, which are little tubes that we put into the heart through the groin to go up into the heart to bridge a blockage that exists in the coronary artery supply to the heart. The blockage in the heart is usually cholesterol, which is put down throughout the years. Some people have a hereditary problem with cholesterol. It tends to be quite high, and this can be put down in the heart. The cholesterol plug itself is not of itself dangerous, but when it detaches and is pushed by the blood supply further down the artery, it acts as a plug, and the bit of the heart on the other side of the plug that it was having the blood supply from the artery then dies. And this is in fact what a heart attack is. We also are realizing that as people put on weight, they're increasing their risk of developing diabetes, type 2 diabetes. And type 2 diabetics have a really substantially increased risk of developing heart disease. We tend to call this something called the metabolic syndrome, which is a combination of high blood pressure, diabetes type 2, and heart disease. And we can quite often see patients move from developing high blood pressure in the middle years, then starting to develop diabetes, and then having heart disease after that. It can tend to run in races. It's certainly known that people from the Indian subcontinent have an increased risk of developing diabetes. And we can see in some communities in this country, the diabetic rate is in fact above 5 or 6% of the population.
What are the oddest or rarest heart disease conditions you have encountered?
I remember coming across one in my final examinations as a medical student, in that I was asked to examine this man's chest. I was extremely confused as to what was going on. Then he whispered to me, "It's on the right." His heart, he had transposition of his heart. Instead of it being on the left-hand side of his chest, it was on the right. There are many congenital problems. Young babies can be born rarely with severe problems. The commonest one is something called tetralogy of Fallot. But basically it means that the heart does not function efficiently, and they can become quite cyanosed or blue. And we need to use very sophisticated surgical techniques done in specialist centres to allow these youngsters to try and lead a normal life.
How inconspicuous can a heart condition be at the start? And how can we check ourselves to find out if we have one or are developing one?
First of all, do you know what your blood pressure is? Have you had it checked within the last couple of years? Also, if you're 40 or above, do you know what your cholesterol, fasting cholesterol level is? That's a fairly important one to know. But also, can you stand without clothes on in front of the mirror and say, "My weight is normal for my height"? If it isn't, then you need to do something about that. Those are the easy, simple checklist things. There's another one, which is essentially that, as I mentioned, your heart is contracting violently in your chest. Although it is violent in your chest, you don't know it's actually doing it. If the heart is having problems, you can develop something called angina. Angina is actually just Latin for pain, and angina pectoris is pain in the chest. But the way that the heart is wired up in the brain to present as chest pain is it will only present as central chest pain or pain radiating on the left-hand side to the arm or sometimes to the jaw or shoulder. Now, the heart will only complain if it's being pushed too hard. If you don't have chest pain or pain in the arm when walking on the surf on the flat, and then find that you develop it in going up a big slope or upstairs, then that's something you need to bring to your doctor. If you develop sudden chest pain and it lasts for more than 10 minutes, you need to dial and ask for a paramedic to help you, because it is imperative that you are seen quickly.
So discipline seems to be the word of order, like going to church every Sunday, for instance. It should be a pleasant exercise, not a pain in the neck.
Indeed. I think it's important to realise that our body is a temple, and as such we need to look after it and worship in it. It's, in other words, it is important that we are responsible for ourselves. Just because the food is there, it doesn't have to be eaten. Because the cigarettes are there, they shouldn't be smoked. It's important that we look after ourselves so that we enjoy our time on Earth as long as possible.
Thank you, Doctor. We will take a break now. And in the second half of our show, Pastor Lynn Hansen will speak to us of his experiences in the spiritual care of people with heart conditions. Don't go away, because there's more to come on the matter of heart conditions after these messages.
If you would like to know more about the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, then visit our website, www.lutheran.co.uk. On our comprehensive website, you can learn more about us, what we believe, and where we are, with direct links to all our congregations in England, Wales, and Scotland. We offer a schedule of all the activities that we're engaged with, and which you can attend to get to know more about our Lord Jesus Christ. Should you be interested, you can also find out more about Lutheran theology and Westfield House, the Theological College of the ELCE. If you would like to support our work, you can use our secured link. Visit www.lutheran.co.uk. ELCE, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
Let's find out why people go to Bible studies.
To understand more of God's teachings.
Every time I learned something new, because on my own I couldn't understand everything.
I like it when the pastor explains the context. I find it really informative.
They help me understand what Jesus really meant.
Pastor, why are Bible studies important?
Bible studies are very important in the life of a congregation, indeed in the life of a Christian. As we study, reflect, and discuss God's Word, what it means and what it means for us today, we grow in faith and understanding of what discipleship with Jesus is all about. And all this in the company of brothers and sisters in Christ. Bible studies are worth it.
Through the study of the Bible, God provides comfort and guidance for life. Go to Lutheran.co.uk to find a Lutheran church that is closest to you and join your local Lutheran Bible study group.
We're back with Health Matters. And now Pastor Lynn Hansen speaks to us about the spiritual care of people affected by heart conditions. Welcome back, Pastor. Tell us about your experiences with people with heart conditions.
One day, a doctor and I were talking about our perception of a few individuals engaged in various vocations. Eventually, the doctor summed up our conversation with this statement: "Every profession has a variety of participants." During my lifetime, I traveled to over 20 different countries and lived in 4 of them. I met many culturally different people. They were culturally different yet similar. My point is this: for the most part, people are basically the same, yet individually different. Reflecting on my experience as a hospital chaplain visiting patients suffering from heart disease, their responses to the disease were quite similar, yet individually different. Facing open heart surgery, every patient, whether they admit it or not, suffers anxiety. Face it! Opening the chest cavity to repair the heart or the arteries connected to it is quite serious. Very few patients admit they are anxious. Patients say they are fine, but looking into their face, observing their nonverbal responses, I see the anxiousness. Usually when I walk in and meet the patient, I ask them, "How are you doing?" or "How are things going for you?" Then I follow up my question with the statement or the comment, "I know if things were just great, you wouldn't be here in the hospital." Some responses I receive back are, "I'm fine. I just want to get this over with." Another is, "I would be lying if I said I wasn't scared." A few clearly admit they may surely die. One patient quipped, "We are all born with a number. When that number is up, we die. God alone knows how long we will live." Some patients don't want to talk about it at all. They just want to be left alone. It appears to me those patients, those that want to be left alone, have the most difficulty going into surgery and take longer to recover. Open heart surgery is tough. The day after surgery is quite traumatic for every patient. Here are a few day after surgery comments I heard. One man said, "I feel like a truck hit me." Another said, "If I had known it would be this bad, I never would have gone through with it." Another said, "I never imagined it would be this bad." And another, "I can't believe how bad I feel." And another, "I can't believe how weak I am." To those who face cardiothoracic surgery, to those recovering, I tell them it will get better. It just takes a long time. The road to recovery isn't the high-speed lane on an open motorway. It is the slow lane on a rough country road. Recovery takes time. Recovery tries one's patience. Recovery comes in small increments. We as humans don't like that. We are very impatient creatures. Look at our lifestyle. We have fast food restaurants, microwave ovens, high speed everything, and little patience for anything. We want to know the sex of our unborn child as soon as possible. We want to walk into a restaurant and be immediately seated and have our waiter standing there waiting for us and come back with our order in record time. We want next day delivery on everything we order. We don't have time to wait. Recovering from cardiothoracic surgery requires long suffering. No matter what we do, we can't speed up the healing process. Keep in mind, some heal, some recover, slower than others. One morning prior to surgeries, I met two patients. They were in the same room. They were laughing and joking and carrying on and relieving their nervous anxiety in that manner. Both required heart valve replacement. So they made a bet with each other. Who would get out of the hospital first? Normal time after a CT is about 4 days. So they made their wager. Well, believe it or not, one ended up staying in the hospital almost a full week longer than the other. He just took a little bit longer to come out of the drug, to come out of the anesthesia, to heal up enough to where he could walk and get around and then go home. The other just recovered faster. Well, thus far, I spoke to those concerned with surgery. But what about those with heart disease that is so bad there is no surgical solution? Recently, I spoke to a friend of mine, we'll call him Ron, for whom this was the case. He sat on the edge of the hospital bed, gasping for breath. I asked, "Ron, how are things going for you?" Ron, taking a deep breath, replied, "Not good. They can't do anything for me. It looks like I will have to live the rest of my life like this. I didn't think it would be this bad at such a young age." I asked Ron what the surgeon told him. Ron shared, "They say I have congestive heart failure coupled with COPD. Other than treat some of the symptoms, there's nothing they can do for me." I asked him, "What are you going to do?" Ron replied, "There isn't much I can do. I think I will move into an assisted living center. I know I'm just going to get worse. The inevitable is going to take place. I may as well accept that now." Ron looked dejected. We discussed his medical status at length. Ron shared his lament at being in such bad shape at such a young age. Ron blamed his condition on cigarette smoking. The conversation turned to Ron's spiritual beliefs. Ron is a strong Christian. He believes Jesus is his Savior. Ron knows he made mistakes in life. Ron knows God forgave him. Ron knows his medical status will not improve. Ron clings to the assurance of forgiveness and eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If disease or surgery affects your life, I suggest you read Psalms 46 and 103. I suggest you pray to God asking for patience, asking Him to bless your doctors and the medical staff. Pray God grant you and your family members peace, comfort, and assurance. Let us take time for prayer right now. Lord Jesus Christ, hear our prayers on behalf of your servant who suffers from heart disease. Bless this person with faith in your loving kindness and protection. Endow the doctors and the medical teams with ability and skill so that according to your will, the treatments may bring your servant to a full restoration of health and strength. For you live and reign with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I'd like to thank you for listening again today, and may the Lord bless your day and your week.
That was Surgical Chaplain Pastor Lynn Hansen speaking to us from St. Paul, Minnesota. Thank you, Pastor. We'll come back with you and Dr. Andrew Nicholson next week when our topic will be arthritis. Please send your comments, questions, and suggestions on our show to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. We'll do our best to reply to every message. The podcast of this show is available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. You will find us under Program. When you're there, take a look at our other shows and stay tuned. Goodbye, and God bless.